Hello everyone and welcome in to the Youth Hoops Pod presented by Pro Skills Basketball. Youth basketball is often disorganized, focused solely on winning, and generally frustrating. But at Pro Skills Basketball, our mission is to change that culture. We strive to provide a more professional experience for parents, players, and coaches. One focused on organized communication, fun, mutual respect, and personal growth, on and off the court. And the Youth Hoops Pod is a part of that. This podcast covers a wide range of youth basketball topics, from high school and AAU basketball to college recruiting, NCAA, NBA, overseas basketball, mental health and performance, leadership, and much more. Now let's jump into today's conversation. We hope you enjoy.
Okay, welcome to the Youth Hoops Pod brought to you by Pro Skills Basketball. This is the first episode of the recruiting roundtable where Jeff and I will be solely focused on college and high school basketball recruiting. So welcome, appreciate you guys listening. I think before we get started, Jeff and I are just going to introduce ourselves. So Jeff, I will kick it to you and we'll go from there.
Thanks, Paul. Really happy to be doing this podcast with Paul through PSB. Really want to give you guys, everybody out there listening, some more information on the recruiting landscape right now at every level, D1, D2, D3. Just want to help you guys out a little bit. My background, I've been in college coaching for almost a decade now, which makes me seem really old. Was at Hamilton College in Clinton, New York in the NESCAC. Then moved on to Carnegie Mellon in the UAA, and now I'm with Ursinus College in the Centennial. So really good leagues and really fortunate to work under some really good coaches and meet some really good people around the country. So really happy to be here, and now I'm a director at PSB Philly, so trying to get that rolling. But with that, I'll let Paul take it.
Yeah. I think this is going to be great. Really appreciate, the opportunity from Brendan. And I think this is going to be great for a ton of reasons in terms of just resources for parents and coaches and obviously kids as well. But my background, I coached in college for about 5 years. I had a couple of stops at Providence, Central Connecticut, Kennesaw State. And then the past 5 years was in New York City, working in the youth sports space, obviously with a big focus on basketball, and just moved out to Columbus, Ohio, and I'm the city director here out in Columbus. So similar to you, man, really looking forward to March and getting our tryouts going, which is going to be great. So if you are a kid listening to this and you live in one of our cities, we're having tryouts soon. So make sure to go to our site and check it out. But like Jeff said, I mean, the premise of this show, really, we want to dig into recruiting at each level, D1, D2, D3, and kind of where we're at with COVID. I think that's really what this episode will be about, how COVID has affected recruiting. I think everyone is aware, for the most part, I think that all the in-person events essentially got canceled back in March, and at the D1 level, they continue to kind of move the goalpost of when they're going to allow in-person recruiting. And I believe now it's shut down until April, I think 1st or 15th of 2021. But let's start with you, Jeff, and like at the college level and how that's affected. Because I can speak to the high school level in terms of how, what we're hearing from college coaches and how often they're coming to the gym, if they can in different states. But how has this affected you guys, going back to March?
Yeah, I think, COVID has affected everybody at every level, the high school athletes, the high school coaches, the college coaches, obviously, and even the college kids now, with everybody being granted an extra year of eligibility, which I think is great, but also, adds an extra element to the whole situation. I think, when this first happened, I don't think anybody knew how long that it was going to take place. I think everybody was hopeful people would be able to get into gyms. As of now, like Paul mentioned, nobody's been able to, really see who they're recruiting live and in person. And I think one of the developments, that I kind of thought was going to happen has played out that way, where, just kids in this area and talking to fellow, college coaching friends, I think you're going to see guys commit early, earlier than usual. And I think you're going to see some coaches and some programs not take as many guys as they usually do. You know, obviously more so maybe on the Division One or Division Two level where scholarships are involved, you know, because they're still going to have a guy stay that, you know, was a senior that wants to come back and play their senior year. So I think that's been the hardest thing for, you know, and you can touch on this more too, Paul, like the class of 2021 having to adjust. You know, I think there's some kids obviously out there that are certainly talented enough to play, you know, at the scholarship level that may not be getting scholarships this year. And that's just it's not an indictment of them as players or even as people. I think it's the domino effect that you're seeing with COVID. You know, people just don't have enough scholarships to give out, and they don't know what the roster is going to look like, to be, you know, quite honest with you. You know, there's some programs that, you know, they could take 18, 19 kids on a roster, but how fair is that to, you know, the current freshmen? How fair is that to, you know, the guys that they bring in? So I think you're seeing a lot of coaches kind of stand pat. And I think that's the biggest effect that I've seen down the line as far as, you know, the college programs go. And obviously, you know, you can speak more about it right now on how probably frustrating that is for, you know, some of the class of 2021.
Yeah, I mean, to your point of college basketball getting another year of eligibility, that's somewhat created a bottleneck in all of the recruiting. And I wanted to bring up this quote from BJ Dunn, who's the head coach at Gettysburg College. And he said, for us as a staff, we're going to look at our top 30 guys, identify those, and then go all in. So I think everything has kind of shrunk. You know, college coaches can't go out, or, you know, they couldn't, you know, in 2020, and I know that may change at the D2 and D3 level now, but, you know, they weren't able to go out and recruit as many kids as they normally could. And so I think the value of a scholarship has skyrocketed, right? I mean, they're not recruiting as wide of a net. And just like you said, that has affected kids that maybe were fringe D3, D2, or even fringe D1 guys. Like, they're not getting that opportunity. So it really is a tough situation for that class of 2021. I agree wholeheartedly with you that kids are going to commit way earlier than normal, because that mindset of, you know, especially at the D1 level, you know, let's say a kid is getting, you know, low D1 interest, but he wants to go mid-major or high major, you know, they may say, you know, thanks Siena, thanks Central Connecticut, I really appreciate the interest, but I want to go higher and I'm going to wait throughout the summer and see what I get. I don't think kids are going to do that anymore. I don't think they have that luxury. I think they're going to commit, go to school, and see what happens, right? I mean, and I don't know if that's for better or for worse, but it's tough. You know, it's a tough situation for a 2021 kid to be in.
I certainly think it's tough, and you know, I think that's where families, high school coaches, you know, AAU coaches, kind of need to come in and take a step back and maybe approach it a little bit differently than usual. You know, I think especially the high school and, you know, AAU coaches, they have to educate these families on kind of what's going on right now through their experience. I mean, this is different than obviously anything anybody has ever gone through before. You know, so I don't know if, you know, telling your guys to, you know, like you mentioned, wait it out, you know, for a scholarship is going to be the way to go. And something I've always believed in, no matter where I was and just talking to other people, you know, it's all about fit. You know, we could have 10 different coaches in here and they could look at the same kid and 10 different coaches would have a different opinion on, you know, how to use that player, where they fit scholarship, non-scholarship wise. And I think that player, if anything, I think they might have some more control now because they can kind of take a step back and say, well, where can I go where this is going to set me up, you know, for the next, you know, 4 years, not 4 years, but 40. And that's what we always talk about, you know, with our guys and what I talked about, you know, at my previous recruit college stops. You know, we want you here to set you up for the future. So, you know, is that, do I want to wait out a scholarship? Do I even want to take a scholarship at a program that, you know, has 15 or 16 or 17 guys on the roster? And yeah, they're giving me a scholarship, but do I want to go somewhere maybe I can play more right away? I think those are all questions that people have to ask themselves right now, and even more important.
Has the NCAA answered the question of what is going to happen when they grant another year of eligibility for all these players, right? So, you know, let's just pick any, it doesn't matter, Kansas, you know, let's say they have 12, 13 scholarship players right now, and they're giving, you know, seniors or everyone else another year. What are they just increasing the amount of scholarships that they're giving out? Like you said, like are Division I teams just going to have 18 players now? What's happening with that?
As far as I know, and I could be wrong on this, but I haven't seen them come out and say that they're going to grant more scholarships. You know, I think the scholarship level limit is staying the same from what I've seen. You know, I don't know if they've come out and addressed that, but I'm almost positive that they are keeping the scholarships the same.
Interesting. So, yeah, I mean, eventually push is going to come to shove, right? I mean, is that going to force more transfers? Is that going to force, you know, maybe kids that weren't playing a lot, like, hey, you have to be a walk-on this year? It's going to be interesting to see how coaches deal with that, because that I don't envy those guys.
And again, I could be wrong. Maybe they did come out and say maybe they'll offer one more, but I haven't seen it. And you know, it kind of, if this is true, it speaks to the fact that, unfortunately, sometimes I think the NCAA operates looking at the Division I level. You know, obviously Kentucky isn't going to be affected by this, right? You know, North Carolina isn't going to be affected by this. Kansas isn't going to be affected by this. You know, the guys that were going to go pro are going to go pro, and they're still going to have those scholarship roster openings that they were going to have. Unfortunately, I don't think they necessarily think about the Division II level, you know, where they already have a limited amount of scholarships, or don't think about the Division I level at the mid-major level, you know, the Patriot level, Patriot League level, you know, even the Ivy League. You know, I know they're not playing a full season this year, but you saw the best players in the Ivy League enter the transfer portal at the beginning of the year, which, you know, good for them. But again, it's unfortunate for some of the smaller schools, I think. Because I don't think there has been, like I said, and I could be wrong, I don't think there has been a solution to giving these schools another scholarship. I think it's kind of, yeah, you're stuck with your scholarships. And I think that's the domino effect that you're seeing, is coaches are unsure about rosters. So some kids that generally would be a mid-major player or Ivy Patriot League player, you know, those guys got to keep their rosters the same, and maybe they drop down to Division II, Division III level.
Yeah. How important has it been as a college coach when you're recruiting someone that they have quality tape now, you know? And I that's always been important, of course, but you could always go in person and see them. You know, how important has, you know, whether it's a highlight tape or a mixtape or just quality like high school game, how important has that been for you guys in recruiting?
Yeah, it, like you said, it's always important. And, you know, obviously it's even more important this year. But at the end of the day, I think, again, if you ask me and if you ask, you know, almost any coach in the country, nothing is going to substitute for seeing somebody live. You know, you pick up on different things. You pick up how they interact with their teammates. You know, you pick up more on how do they handle themselves when they make a mistake. You pick up more on how do they handle themselves when things are going well. You know, and those are all things that they do matter. You know, coaches talk about them, and I think sometimes families, you know, don't necessarily think it matters as much, and kids don't think it matters as much, but all that stuff matters. You know, and I think even highlight tapes are great. I think full game film was super important, and that's what I tried to get, you know, some of my guys this past year. I also, you know, like I mentioned at the beginning, you know, director for PSB Philly right now. We had a 17U team this year. You know, they played in this area during COVID. Everything was very safe. But something that I told these guys is I wasn't going to go to a tournament that didn't have a live stream going on that coaches couldn't tune into, because it just it didn't make sense. You know, one, because of COVID, you know, no matter what, you can take all the safety precautions in the world, but you want to make sure everybody's safe. So two, if we're going to be playing, I want to make sure it's worth it for our guys, and coaches can look at the full game film and kind of get a feel for, you know, how they play. So that was important. And obviously highlights are important because it gives a snippet. And I think at the Division III level, you know, luckily you're able to maybe field a larger roster, not everywhere, but in some cases field a larger roster than normal. And I think, you know, you can take chances on some guys. So I think that helps, you know, but again, at Division II and Division I level, these guys are, they're trying to probably get commitments early so they can just be done. And some of these kids aren't even being seen yet. So film was super important. You know, I know that was a long-winded answer, but you know, nothing is going to substitute for, I think, seeing somebody in person.
Yeah, for sure. A lot of schools have gotten creative with their recruiting in terms of, you know, Zooms or trying to figure out how to do an on-campus visit if the parents, you know, can't come or, you know, visitors aren't allowed on campus. How have you guys handled that situation in terms of, you know, whether it's FaceTime or Zoom or whatever?
Yeah, I know, you know, the staff at UC, Coach Small, you know, Coach Raff and Coach Bors, you know, they've done a really good job doing Zooms with the recruits, and they were on it early. You know, I think a lot of the Division III schools were, and I think you had to be, you know, we got four commitments, I believe by mid-September, which, you know, if you know the history of the Bears and even history of Division III, you know, that's kind of unprecedented for Coach Small and unprecedented for, you know, some of the Division III schools in our league and around the country, you know, to get four commitments by that time. So they did a really good job. And I think a lot of it was FaceTime relationships early on with the kids and recruits. You know, some of these guys did take visits, even though, you know, they weren't allowed to, you know, go in the building. It was more of a, you know, it was a virtual tour at first, you know, and then, you know, we were one of the lucky few schools that were able to kind of, you know, walk people around wearing masks, even though you couldn't, you know, you couldn't really go into the athletic facilities. So definitely different. And I think kids have to do their research more than ever, you know, on rosters and on the school and again, how it's going to set you up for 40 years instead of just the four. And kind of trust coaches' words for it. I think relationships are always important, but they're even more important. And one of the things that I feel badly about for the kids, you know, there's multiple reasons, but I would always tell guys, and I still do to this day, don't commit anywhere until you meet the guys on the team, until you meet them, you know, you get a chance to really know them, you know, and not just meet, like you form a relationship, you know, because those are going to be the people that tell you, you know, the truth. Those are the people walking in your shoes. You know, they're going to kind of be real about the coaching staff. They're going to be real about the food as much as we don't want it to matter. You know, food matters in college to these guys, you know, facilities, you know, weight room, school, friends, social life, you know, you get all that from meeting the players. So I do feel badly that the class of 2021, while, you know, being able to maybe meet one or two guys, probably share text messages. There's not a whole lot of overnight visits going on right now, obviously. And I think you miss out on a big portion of that. So yeah, it's been different. It's been an adjustment for everybody.
I think you know, we can end on this. And if there's anything else we want to talk about on this first episode, we definitely can. But what, in your opinion, what will stick? You know, what, in terms of what changed over the past year or so, almost a year, which is crazy to think about, whether it's virtual or everyone having more mixtapes, more video, whatever it is, like, do you think anything will stick from this past year in terms of future recruiting?
I think the live streams, you know, we already saw this a little bit, I think, before COVID hit, but I think you're going to see more coaches probably work just as hard, but smarter now. You know, instead of driving, you know, through three or four or five different states, you know, to go get kids and prospects, you know, I think in the spring, you're going to see a lot of college coaches kind of, you know, browse their list, you know, get the list of kids that they want to follow up on, who impresses them, who doesn't, make calls to high school coaches, make calls to AAU coaches, get to know the kids, and then come summer, probably try to narrow it down and go see those guys live and in person. You know, because like I said, I think you can't simulate seeing somebody live just on a video, but you can certainly, you know, get a good feel whether you think they would be a good fit. So I think you'll see that. I think, you know, there'll be more and more live streams everywhere. And I think you'll see virtual, quote unquote, visits. You know, I think college coaches have done a really good job being creative. I don't know why that would stop as far as, you you know, being able to, you know, FaceTime or Zoom a family, and kind of show them around the facility, you know, before they visit. Obviously the live in-person campus visit is going to be most important, but when you're trying to get somebody interested in the spring or early summer, I don't know why you wouldn't, you know, Zoom the best looking athletic building on campus or the best classroom on campus. I think that will certainly stick around. I think virtual is not going to go away. I think Zoom opened everybody's eyes to what we're missing out on in a lot of different areas. So I think coaches will continue to get very, very creative with that.
Yeah. Yep. I definitely agree. Cool. Well, I think that's it for us. Anything else that we missed or that we want to touch on?
No, I think, you know, we covered everything. I just want people to know, like, this is going to be interactive as we go along. We'll certainly have, you know, different college coaches on here, you know, some athletes, you know, current class of 2021, you know, maybe even previous athletes that are already in college. We'll have coaches from every level. And I think it's going to be really fun. I think it'll be informative. And really looking forward to having this talk, you know, every other week with you, Paul.
Yeah, for sure. Awesome. Cool. Well, thank you guys again. Appreciate you, Jeff. And yeah, like he said, we'll probably be, you know, once every week or 2 weeks or so in terms of our cadence. And looking forward to getting back here in a little bit. And make sure you subscribe and hit that like button. And episode one of the Recruiting Roundtable. Done deal. Appreciate it. We'll talk with you guys soon.
Thank you for listening to today's conversation. If you enjoyed the podcast, please leave us a 5-star review and subscribe so that you can stay tuned to future episodes. Follow us on all of our social media platforms at ProSkills Basketball on Instagram and Facebook and at ProSkills B-Ball on Twitter. And if you'd like to find out more information about our teams, camps, clinics, or virtual basketball, check out our website at www.proskillsbasketball.com. We'll see you soon on another conversation.